Hey, thanks for picking up the city. My name is Jason Carr. I work with the student ministry at North Point.
And this is Sarah McDonald, and I also work with the student ministry at North Point. We're so thankful that you guys are picking up the CD to take a peek into an idea of depression and just the things that students are dealing with. We hope that this time with talking with these professional counselors will be beneficial to you. So we'd like to introduce the counselors today. We have Jason and Jennifer. And would you guys take a moment and introduce yourselves?
Sure. My name is Jason Otwell. I'm a therapist at the Atlanta Counseling Center down in Dunwoody. See a good number of adolescents in my practice. I've done so for about 10 years in outpatient and in hospital settings as well. And definitely interact with depression, unfortunately, a lot, and eager to talk about it today.
Thank you.
And I'm Jennifer Stuckert. I work at Paraclete Counseling Center. And like Jason, I've been practicing for about 10 years. I'm officially a marriage and family therapist and deal a lot with teenagers, about half my practice, and dealing with lots of family dynamics and things
great.
That explode there.
Well, this
absolutely.
Is great. You know, a lot of our small group leaders signed up to hang out with students and didn't know that at some point in their journey, they're going to end up being a therapist themselves.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly. This is in the non-professional sense.
Exactly.
Yes. And be the kind of the first line, the front lines.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So knowing that, we want to give them some resources to help them. Mm-hmm. And one of the big issues of feedback we've gotten from leaders a lot is just there are a lot of students who are dealing with depression.
Which is surprising.
Yeah.
Because when we were growing up, students weren't depressed mm-hmm. as much. You know, it's definitely a thing that we're seeing probably in the last 10, 15 years.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely a hot button issue for a lot of leaders, and it's completely affecting their groups.
Mm-hmm.
The group dynamic, the way different students relate to each other, and the way...
The spirit of heaviness.
Yeah, absolutely. A student will come in and just... You know, if you have a student who's really depressed, he'll say one or she'll say one thing, and it'll completely change the dynamic
yeah.
of the group.
Mm-hmm.
And so... And on top of that, it's cool that they're here. Like, if they're mm-hmm. here and they're talking about it, that's an incredible step in the first place.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But we want to help them move from that depression and find hope in Christ. So,
sure.
From your perspective, what are some of the major causes of depression with students?
Quick and simple summary. You know, they say now the number of divorces that are going on, the breakdown of the family, the high academic pressures, and... You know, that are just out there. And there is a little bit of, it's a little bit cool to be depressed.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've talked about things that are in vogue right now. There is a little bit of a sense in the teen culture that mm-hmm. there's a group of them that it's cool to be depressed. So there's, you know, some of that going on. There's biological factors that you totally can't control.
Yeah.
And most, you know, psychological disorders have their onset in adolescence.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have been trucking along just fine and boom. Mm-hmm. Something blows up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the word that comes to my mind when I think about what the cause of it is just stress. Is that mm-hmm. Those can be minor stresses. It can be
major,
huge stresses. It can be a culmination of three or four things that if you look at them individually, you think, why are you depressed about that? But if you put them all together, then it's like, oh, okay, that kind of tends to make more sense. And then unfortunately, you do have the kind of the biological components that kind of come out of nowhere, and you just get blindsided. And again, unfortunately, it does happen a lot of times in the student years.
What are you finding as you're dealing with students in your practices that are kind of the signs or behaviors that would alert maybe somebody like us that are not professionals mm-hmm. to that the fact that a student is dealing with depression?
I think probably the first thing that they're going to notice is a change.
Okay.
Whether that be a change in relationships, a change in their kind of commitment to the group or their motivation to do it, or a change in the kind of their social agenda, you know, where they before they were doing XYZ behaviors, now they're totally 180 to over here doing totally different things. That kind of drastic change, even though some of that is somewhat typical of teenagers, is you're trying on new things and kind of trying on your identity, to have it occur that drastically, that would be a light bulb moment to think, okay, well, potentially something's going on here we need to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, and you're also looking for that, you know, apathy. It's kind of mm-hmm. like
yeah.
the word that describes a lot of what Jason just explained. You know, we'll see apathy in them. Sleeping patterns really start to change. A report of either sleeping a ton more than normal or not being able to sleep well. Just a loss in energy, the sluggishness, the sadness, the kind of gloom and despair. And then a lot of times a real shift in negative thinking.
Mm.
There starts to become this really derogatory talk. Mm-hmm. Derogatory talk about the world, derogatory talk about my friends, derogatory talk about me mm-hmm. and what I can and can't do
mm-hmm.
and mostly what I can't.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think from that kind of negative place, they begin to get agitated.
Yes.
They get ticked off very, yeah. very easily yeah. about everything. So a group leader may experience mm-hmm. that as well, as before they were this really nice, pleasant person right. who came in and did all this, and now yeah. they're just sour about everything. And mm-hmm. so, and it's not easy for me to ask them a question, and they go, you know, blow them off or really get irritated by
when
it.
When they were already agitated walking in the door, and then you address it.
Yeah, right.
And then
right.
they really took off.
Right, right.
To fuel the fire, that's cool.
Right, right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that irritability is extremely common.
And that relates to the fact that they don't internally understand what's going on
right.
with them. So their inability, you know, they don't have categories, they don't have good emotional understanding or mm-hmm. descriptors mm-hmm. to explain. It's not, they don't, they're just feeling this new stuff.
Sure.
They don't know why.
Well, and the word depression is such a broad word
yes.
that if you just mm-hmm. say, well, I'm feeling depressed. Mm-hmm. Well, there's days when you feel down.
Mm-hmm. Blue, we call
right,
it.
Right. And that is different than depression.
Yes.
I think.
We're talking right. about a length of time.
Right. right.
We're looking for something that's been persisting over a significant period of time.
Right. right.
And the longer it's been persisting, the more important it is to take action on it.
Right. Right. Mm. Right.
Okay.
What are some ways that you think students, as you sit and talk with them and they process about stuff they're thinking, what are some ways that they think about how they feel? Like how are they communicating about what they're thinking? You look at them and go, they're depressed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What are they communicating to you?
I think Jennifer was talking about kind of that negative thinking.
Yep.
It's they've become very victim-y, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
It's that you know, my parents are, you know, being mean to me or keeping me from things or coming down on me for no reason, or my friends are betraying me, or the teachers hate me, or mm-hmm. and it's just kind of like everybody is out to get me here, and viewing it almost kind of as it's not paranoia per se, but kind of feeling things, it's very, very threatening. And so, you know, all these bad things happened to me. And so then out of that, they, you know, become defensive and irritated and
right.
fight back.
One of our therapeutic terms for it is learned helplessness.
Right. Oh,
and so
yeah.
we see these students who, you know, I can't do anything about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then that creates this, that's a very terrible feeling.
Right.
To feel hopeless, like you can't affect any change in anything to do with your world. Yeah, it doesn't matter. I stink at the sports. I'm not going to be able to get any better. I might as well quit the team. My grades are going down the tube, and I can't learn this stuff, so why should I even try? I'm not doing very well, you know, in making relationships of the opposite sex, and so nobody's ever going to like me. I must just be the ugliest person ever. And we just see on and on and on. But it like snowballs and compounds.
Yeah.
And then if they have any actual difficulties, which usually they do, they're sort of self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right.
Because you're at a bad place. Because
you're
telling
yourself this is
yeah,
true.
And you have these negative mantras. Then they usually do have some social struggles and failures. And once you have one or two, then some people, you know, they just retreat away and they pull off and they begin to believe that negativity is permanent and always going to be this way, and the hopelessness just sets in.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are some ways we could inspire hopes? What are some strategies or some things that we could offer to small group leaders that maybe, as they're listening to this, a student comes to mind or they're thinking about someone in their life, they go, I think this person might be depressed. What are some things that we could practically do to help encourage and help them find some hope in the midst of that?
I springboard off that word patience again,
because
for the leader, it's just like, whoa, these are hard people to spend time with.
Yeah.
Depressed kids are hard to be around.
And we always want to be around people that are easy to be with.
Absolutely.
Right.
I mean, the leader wants to hang out with the coolest person in the group. That's no
right.
problem. It's the hard people
yeah.
that are hard.
Right.
And so just thinking about that slow, patient teaching, helping them, kind of springboarding off that idea that you can't, you know, affect any change, helping them see little places where something is different, little places where they can do something. I mean, in our therapy world, we work really hard on doing very small steps of change so that there's this high probability of success. Well,
yeah.
leaders can do that same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Go with them to the game,
right.
coach them about talking to somebody that they normally wouldn't talk to. Doing different things interactively with them where you're kind of beside them, encouraging them along, and then celebrate their successes much and help them shift their lens from all the negativity that they are predisposed to thinking that's part of the struggle of depression to start seeing the positive.
Well, we tell them too, put the other students in their group around that student. You
yes.
know, if there's kids
help
that are in
your
group, let's reach out to this person. This is not just the leader's responsibility.
Right, absolutely.
And I think what we try to build is a community. And we want, you know, kids to see, hey, if Susie's struggling or if Billy's struggling, it's my responsibility because I'm in group with them and I care about them and I want to see them succeed as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is some things that we just don't do so much in our culture anymore. You know, you're not told, you know, well, tough it out, honey, and try to figure it out. Or, you know, that person's a little difficult right now. Maybe they need you. Maybe they need to hear from you. Mm-hmm. Parents aren't telling their students that anymore. Mm-hmm. They're telling their students, you know, hey.
Look out for you.
Oh, yeah. If there's something going on, you pull back.
Get away from them. Yeah. They have problems.
Yeah. Right. They're going to that's going to reflect on you.
Right.
And that is not – I mean, I don't feel like that's a very Christ-like attitude,
no.
one. But that's also, you know, as a leader, we want to be fostering not just I'm coming in and rescuing this child.
But the group is doing something.
The group is caring for him, too.
And I love the idea of celebrating the victory because is a corporate policy we try to do that because when we can see tangible signs of good things happening, it makes us want to give more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so if a student is struggling and we help them see an area maybe where they're developing or a good thing happen, that might be the catalyst for them stepping in to maybe pursuing
something else.
Yeah,
well,
absolutely.
We move towards good things in our lives. And so when something great is going on, we want to celebrate that. And that's going to draw, you know, it's almost like you want to get caught up in the excitement of something.
I think the same thing is true when you're depressed, though. You move towards bad things.
Absolutely.
Right.
And towards negative thinking.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I love what you just said about the group because the group can actually ensure social success.
Yep. Right.
So if a leader goes in with that mindset and that lens, they can actually cultivate a social success for the depressed person in the group, and then they can highlight that. I mean, it is a little bit orchestrated, but it's profound.
But it's true because what happens in life, I mean, you know, that whole idea of fake it till you make it.
That's right.
I mean, that's so true in life in many areas. But this is definitely one of those areas of, you know, let's tell the kids, you know, this person is difficult. We all know that. Everybody knows. But you know what? They're going through a real tough time. So let's us make the extra effort to help them. And, you know, it's like for us here at North Point Ministry, you know, whether it's Buckhead, Brownsbridge, or North Point, you know, we're hearing people say around us, or we're maybe hearing Andy say, you know, that when you are in a spot and people are around you, you're able to, you're like, okay, I kind of belong here. Mm-hmm. And when you have a sense of belonging or whatever, then you're going to be able to take that next step. And like you said before, it's just small steps as we go.
I think that that community it kind of indirectly gives them hope as well. If you have other people who are kind of alongside of you as you go through this, no matter what the logistics are of how you're handling that, it's just knowing if somebody else is in the fight with you about it and they're connected to you, it's easier. Well, it has potential to create some momentum there where, you know, where in terms
one success begets the next.
Right. Or is the opposite. If you feel like you're totally isolated and totally alone and nobody cares, nobody would even know if anything happened to me, then that becomes a pretty dark place and pretty scary.
Oh, yeah, for sure. What are maybe some red flags as we're talking kind of about what leaders can kind of notice? What are some things that kind of like, all right, if this is going on, don't just hold on to this with yourselves. Maybe, you know, you need to seek some other additional help or that kind of thing.
Especially in the context of, you know, sometimes depression can lead to a student being suicidal, cutting, different issues that a lot of students are dealing with. What are some red flags that in your world you could go, wow, this is, they need to sit down with someone like you to really process this. What would you say?
Yeah, Jennifer has been great about talking about that kind of deep, dark thinking. And I think that comes out in lots of different areas, whether it be music they become more gravitating to, or stuff they're writing, or stuff they're saying. Sometimes they'll flippantly say, you know, I just wish I were dead, or unfortunately, I got out of bed this morning, or I woke up this morning. Flippant comments like that are
the death talk.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Those are not flippant comments. There's definitely seeds of truth in that. And so as you begin to hear those things, no matter how it's presented, I think you got to jump in and make sure you're asking specific questions about that. What's going on? What do we need to do? We need to talk to somebody about this. It just can't stay between us.
Mm-hmm. And if it starts to look like the student is throwing in the towel, you know, with their life choices, if all of a sudden you see them go from like, you know, AB student to just, I don't care if I get Fs, and it persists, and you see, because students aren't always going to just say, oh, I think, you know, my life would be better if it was over. They're going to show it as well. So if the leader starts to hear stuff like I failed another test and it doesn't even matter, you know, flashing lights, red sirens, all that stuff, that should let us know it's time to take this very seriously.
And I think that's where we're telling our leaders too. When you begin noticing things like that are going on, don't just go, okay, I'm noticing it, I'm filing that away. Just say, hey, Sarah, Jason, you know, Beth, whatever, whoever's on your campus, whoever is the person, you know, the staff person that's connected to you, let's have that conversation so that we're aware. And then, you know, we're encouraging our leaders so much to say, you know, have some sort of connection with a parent. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, you're just calling to say, hey, you know, I wanted to, meet up with your son or your daughter, you know, to watch a basketball game this afternoon, or take them to get ice cream or go get coffee or whatever it is that you're doing with your students. Those different things are going to begin to translate into some connection with the parents.
Mm-hmm. Some trust.
And then when you have to come and say, hey,
a big piece of news.
Oh my gosh, mm-hmm. let me just tell
and
you.
You don't want that to be the first conversation.
No.
Hey, you don't know me, but.
But don't be afraid if that is your first conversation. I'm telling parents too, or telling leaders too, don't be afraid to talk to parents because
it's too much to carry alone.
Well, they care about their children.
Right.
I mean, for the most part, nobody's going to just cast their kid aside and be like, it's not a big deal.
Right. And we discover most of the time when we do connect with parents and let them know stuff, they're unbelievably grateful that we care enough about their child's health and their family health to even make them aware of a red flag that they communicated in. It's rare that a parent is upset. I mean, most of the time they go, oh, well, we are aware of that. Or
yeah. And, you know, I was just reading in something this weekend that, you know, it's so common for parents to overlook depression. Mm. They just kind of, I don't know if they're just not tuned in enough to their kids, or they think it's a phase, it's part of the hormone thing, they'll just be a moody. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the most underdiagnosed things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, depression not treated can compound, and then we're going to the place of talking about things like suicide or suicide attempts or cutting behaviors.
Right.
And, you know, all those things are, it's time to acknowledge your inabilities and seek professional help and talk to the parents. And
Well, we've been talking, I mean, we've kind of gone through, you know, this is what we've identified, you know, depression. We've talked about maybe here's some signs, here's some suggestions on ways to kind of cope with it. What would be kind of maybe some last, kind of wrap our minds around this, or kind of put a bow on it and say, okay, we've talked about it a little bit, and now, you know, here's, you know, using this just as a tool. We're not going to exhaust this issue, but we want to be able to say, okay, you know, here's some useful information. Here's maybe some ideas. Here's some things you can talk to, or you're at that point where you need to get more help. Okay, we're available, that kind of thing. What would be just kind of some final thoughts?
I think the, again, to belabor the relationship point, I think that's so critical, and you have such a unique opportunity as a leader in a student's life, and especially as they go through, as they're struggling with something like depression, to have you as an anchor in their life is just invaluable. So I think it's a unique opportunity, and one that again, it doesn't require a laundry list of skills that we as human beings don't have. If you see someone who is struggling in your life and care for them, then of course you want them to talk about it. You want to hear what's going on. You want to invite conversation about that. And if it crosses the line where you think, okay, yeah, you know, we need to do something about this, let's call your folks. Let's do something about that I think out of that kind of natural relationship experience, then you can deal with something as traumatic and as difficult.
But if you don't have a relationship, that never happens.
It's never going to go.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly.
And I'm thinking the leaders are functioning as monitors sort of too. I want leaders to be thinking about the amount of time that has passed while this is going on. If what I've read recently is true about parents really kind of being in the dark on this, the leader actually may be more like the frontline person who's really seeing more of an accurate picture. So if they can kind of keep in their mind, okay, this has been going on for 2 months. There were these shifts that we've described earlier, and it's been going on for a while. And no, maybe they haven't advanced the death sort of talk.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't do something about this. And that
there is going to naturally get better.
It may not. Yeah, it really may not. And there are like brain chemistry changes that occur if this persists. And so you want to be thinking about, okay, how much time has passed? Mm-hmm. And I think teenagers, you know, they're in that place where they need help with self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever a leader can offer them to help them, just to get a kid who is in that depressed, super negative state to acknowledge that they are being negative is so profound. And that helps them recognize, yep, you're wearing the black glasses and everything you see has black all around it. And that's like the sun is out.
Right.
There's good stuff going on around you, but all you see is black.
Right. Mm-hmm.
To help them recognize that, then they can maybe admit what they're really doing.
We just appreciate your time. We appreciate that you guys would sit down with us and talk and just offer some hope and some suggestions to our leaders. We really do appreciate it. As we're closing out, Jason, would you just close us out?
Yeah, and real quick before we do that, I just want to say, you know, if you're walking through this issue with a student and it becomes a red flag or you see something, not only talk to your staff member or groups person, We'll connect you with the care ministry, and people like Jason and Jennifer are around and available to meet with students. And so we obviously don't have all the answers, but we'd love to connect you with people who could help your students walk through that. And secondarily, obviously, we know true, raw, unfiltered hope only comes through a relationship with God.
Absolutely.
And so at the end of the day, the best thing you can do as a leader as you walk through this issue with a student is to point him towards our Heavenly Father.
And remind him of his love.
Yeah, and that, you know, if we don't have hope in
Christ,
then life is dark.
Right.
And so it might be where that's the thing that could really help a student walk out of some of these issues. And we know that that's the thing that will provide hope.
Mm-hmm. And if you're nervous about talking about that with your student, then, you know, pull one of us aside as a staff member and we can talk about that with you.
So thank you guys for walking through this season with students and the things that happened. Thank you, Jennifer and Jason, for being here and sharing your time. And let me close this in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, God, that thousands of years ago when you created this planet, you knew that this day, this moment, that there would be people walking this planet who aren't perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And God, that you created us, the Bible says you know our very being. God, you know our DNA, which is unique, and the different issues we deal with. And God, many of us struggle with depression. God, there are many, many students right now who are sitting in a classroom or sitting at home and thinking about what life's all about and what you're all about. And God, maybe they're losing a little hope. And Father, I just pray for the small group leaders who are listening to this, God, who might have the opportunity to walk through life with them, that you would use them to point those students to you, Father God, that those students would find true hope and the hope that never fades in a relationship with you. God, help us to be a good steward of when we see potential red flags or we see different signs, not to just blow it off, especially over a season of time, God, but that we would be aggressive about jumping in and engaging with students, and you'd give us favor and wisdom and clarity in what to say and how to handle it and just to trust you to do what you do. Mm-hmm. So again, God, thank you for these leaders and their desire to walk along this journey of life with students. And I pray that, God, they would be blessed as they continue to serve you. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.